Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. This Monday's teaching will give you a deeper insight into the spiritual armor that every Christian needs to wear. This armor is a vital defense against the devil's spiritual attacks. Today's message focuses on the breastplate of righteousness, and Bishop Dag will share seven forms of unrighteousness directly from the Bible that you must strive to have in order to be strong spiritually. It is more important than ever for Christians to know how to defend themselves in the Spirit, so be sure to listen attentively to today's word.
Father, thank you for this great blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. Now, we are going to begin making some announcements concerning the reopening. All right. So, the reopening announcements will come. There are about five different things that concern the reopening in several steps. So I want everybody to stand by for these different announcements for the graded step-by-step reopening of the First Love Church, because I know that the grown-ups are already in motion. But the First Lovers in Accra, and I don't know where else, would have to get ready for a graded and step-by-step supernatural reopening. Hallelujah. Amen. So I need you to be very, at the beginning of the year, we talked about mobile, giving money through, offering through the mobile system, and all our membership things, WhatsApp, Telegram, groups, different things, and being able to have Wasentes and all the other things we have. So all the different things in the technology world, right, are things that I believe we are getting well-versed with, so that in the next era, we can gain mastery over darkness and do better, hallelujah, than we have ever done, all right? And we can do better by going further and going to the more humble places that God has for us. Do you see? Doing better doesn't mean being more famous. No. It means more pleasing to God who sent us. Okay? Now, so please stand by for these different announcements. And the First Love Church, as you know, is for those of us who are very young. So you must have a young, shiny face to be part of the First Love Church. You must like music and dancing. And you must like beloveddoses and honeymoons and such things that belong to the young generation. If you have retired from love, you cannot be here. Hallelujah. And we are not going to allow anything to drown excitement and happiness. Hallelujah. Now, my offering this morning. God is making many rich, especially me. God is making many rich, especially me. Do you believe it? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. All right? Now, I remember listening to Bishop Oyedepo of the Winners Chapel. He said God told him, he went for a conference and God asked him to leave the conference and go back to Nigeria and make my people rich. Yes. Yes. Make his God's people rich. All right? Now, this, it may sound fantastic and even offensive until you read this verse and you see that to make somebody rich was part of Paul's ministry, to make people rich. Unless you don't believe the words in the Bible, it says, yet making many rich. Yes. So it's possible that if you receive the ministry of somebody who has that grace, you can be made rich. Yes. I've had a number of people thank me for their wealth or even their debt-free status or even their houses that they have. Not that I gave it to them, but that they had the wisdom to build a house and the grace to build. Do you see? So it is possible that through the ministry of God's servant, you can be made rich. Now, the word rich is the word rich, unless you want it to be metaphorical or spiritual riches. Rich is rich. I don't know why. When something looks fantastic, we want to change it into a metaphorical revelation. Spiritual riches and so on. Do you see? Now in verse 11 it says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. But you are not straitened in us. Change the version. But you are straitened in your own bowels. All right? Now look at verse 12. It says, we are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. So in other words, he had some love and affection that he wanted to release to the people, but they were not flowing. This is what it's like when you propose to somebody and say, I love you, and then, do you love me? Then the person asks, what exactly do you mean by love? Do you see? Your mouth like you, what do you mean by love? It's a blessing to be loved. Wow. I just say it's a blessing to be loved. Yes. So, thank God there are people here who understand the word rich. Receive riches. Amen. Now, how can a prophet make somebody rich? Are you with me?
Yes.
Say, God is making many rich.
Especially me.
Yes. Or especially myself. Yes. I don't know which one is correct English. Both are also can. Okay. Can also. Is it exciting? God can. Amen. And he does. And he is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he is making you rich. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, how can a prophet make somebody rich? Hallelujah.
Amen.
How can a prophet make somebody rich? And I'm going to show you how a prophet can make somebody rich. Amen.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
To learn. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, this is a major part of the church service. All right? So, you could even call it the first sermon or the first message. Do you see? Yes. And it may be even longer than the so-called sermon. Yes. Making many rich, especially me. Amen. Now, the word of the Lord came to, I'm going to show you two different prophets making people rich. Yes. Making many rich. Kalabataramazopa. Now, the word of the Lord came in Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead. And as the Lord said, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went out and did according to the word of the Lord. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Now, sometimes it is when certain natural, physical, earthly events take place that God will speak. Because it was when the brook dried that the word of the Lord came. So the brook dried. The brook drying was not an accident. But as it seemed to be like a natural end of something, then another word came. A direction. So the word of the Lord came, saying, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Like God didn't command a rich person to look after him. He commanded a widow. Okay? And I found many times God uses the unexpected person. You know, rich people, sometimes you would think that a rich person is rather the person who's going to give. But in my experience as a pastor, people who are rich often don't give what they could give. So they just come and sprinkle some granites out of the place. Or they come and share black and white. Do you know black and white? It's a type of toffee. Yes. Yeah. Black and white. It's called black and white. It's a type of toffee. And they used to give it at wakekeepings. Yes. When you go for a wakekeeping, they go around and they give it. But you know, it's nothing that can satisfy you, hunger, or solve your problems. You get it? Sprinkling some granite here and there. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. That's the first test. You see, we are looking at the test of giving. And God starts to raise you up financially by leading you to give, to learn to give. So first, I need some water. Are you there? Now, as she was going to fetch it, again, you see that many things in your life are tests. You must respect that you are being tested sometimes. In fact, many times. It's all a test. Yes. Bring me, okay, I pray thee, a little water. Now, as she was going, he called her. So it means the water is not really what the issue is. He was testing to see if she was the widow. You see? Then bring me, and God is going to test you today to see if you are the one who is being made rich, especially you. Now, as he was going, he said, I pray thee a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't want to hype you, lie to you. I have not a cake. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Like this is death. This is the end. Now notice verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, don't worry. Go and do as you have said, but make me thereof a cake first. Before you satisfy yourself, make for me a little cake first. I mean, she said, you can go ahead and do all that you are going to do, but I will be first. I'll eat first and bring it unto me. And after you've given, make for thee and for thy son, making many rich. I'm showing you two prophets who are making people rich. Do you want to continue reading the Bible? Yes. Especially who? Yes. For thus says the Lord. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, making many rich. This was now a rich woman, do you see? Somebody who was ready to eat your last and die, which honestly, many of you listening to me have never experienced such low levels of things in your storeroom and even your life. Ready to eat and die, come on. I mean, she had no connections, she didn't know anybody. She was at the lowest. And here she encounters a prophet who gives her the test of giving. The test of what? Giving. Yes. The test of releasing. The test of honoring and putting God first. The test that causes people to be made rich if you pass it. It's always going to be about giving. Yes. Because the grace to be rich is the grace to give. Yeah, if you can't give, you can't be rich. The grace of prosperity is the grace of giving. So when people cannot prosper, it's because they don't have the power to give. They don't have the ability to give. Yes. You see, even the ability to give your life to God. By me giving my life to God's work, many things that are supposed to be bought, do you get it? That people spend their whole life trying to find. Do you see? It's like many lives full of all those things are handed to me. Yes. Because the grace of giving is the grace of prosperity. Yeah. When you give a life means all that you have, what you build, what you eat, what you drink, what you pay school fees, all the things in your life. So when you give your life to him, you get many lives back. Yes. Many times I've said, I'm more blessed than Prince Charles or Prince, any of the princes. I don't know in their country. The country I know is England, so I know the princes there. Please, if you have any other prince, you can let me know. Prince Adai. Okay. Amazing. So, giving is the grace to give, is the grace to be rich. When you have been given the grace to prosper, it's because you've been given the grace to give. People don't realize, you know. You know, if a pastor is preaching to people about giving or about tithing, only a small percentage of people follow it. Yeah. Now, let me go to another prophet. I just want to show you, because you ask yourself, what does the pastor or the prophet have to do with people's money? Do you see? Yeah. But the grace. So anytime I've gone to anywhere to raise funds, I'm actually going to make them rich. Yes, I've traveled to make them rich. La rama katabaya balaba. Yes. So as I'm coming to take this offering at this time, after this first sermon, I'm making many rich. Yes. Especially who? I can't hear you on the television. Not those in England. I didn't hear your shout. Can I hear the shouting from Canada and England? Okay, it's better. Now, 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm looking at a prophet making many rich. All right? Now, there cried a certain woman of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, my husband is dead. Okay? My husband is dead. All right? No. Let me use another story. Elisha. All right? And it came to pass, verse 8. All right? It came to pass. It fell on a day. Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. Wow, a notable woman. And she constrained him to do what? Eat bread. Beautiful. You see, giving, do you get it? The test of giving is the grace of giving and the grace of prosperity. So she sees him, and to somebody will occur to and say, don't mind that foolish man. Every day he's coming here, whatever. He feels he's better than others. He feels he's better than others. But when she saw him, she rather constrained him to eat. You know, there are some people, you go visiting them, they may offer you food. But they may just offer you tea. Or they may say, oh, we've had lunch already. Or, should I have some fish? Should I defrost? What do you do? But this woman, she forced him. And in my life, I've met a few people who are like this. Yeah, they constrain you to eat. Yes. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Beautiful. Your bread that you sow, remember, is one of the greatest seeds. And sowing into the prophet's life, there's no church to give an offering. So that is it. And she said unto her husband, now she was taking the giving feather. She said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Beautiful. Let's do more. Let's do more. Let's give more. Let's do more. Let's give more. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. She talked to her husband about it. Is it amazing? Pastor can stay here. And it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. Karama shatala basoba kabaya. Now, verse 12, you see, the test of giving had been passed. Okay. Listen to the provocation. Now he said to his servant Gehazi, call this Shunammite. Call what? This Shunammite. Making many, I'm going to make her rich. All right? And when he had called her, she stood before him. Okay? Wow. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? You see, the prophet and the anointing is heavily provoked by giving and by the care. That something must be done for you. And nothing will be done for you because it does not occur to you to give. And you see, I need you to believe the Bible or discard it. What is to be done for thee? What shall I do for you? Not now what shall I do, but what is to be done? What do you want to happen? Making many rich. Especially who? You. Amen. And wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. I have nobody suppressing me. I don't have any document anywhere that I need somebody to push through. No. And he said, what then is to be done for her? What do you need that? I mean, what is it? Can I do? And Gehazi answered, now we are going beyond money. Because the most amazing and most valuable things, they don't have a price. That's why it's called priceless. If somebody trusts you, it's priceless. There's no price. When you break trust, you get it? When you break trust, and you want to get it back. So, I'll give man. You can give. It doesn't restore. Yes. Priceless. A child. Priceless. Priceless. Life. Bring the price. Life. You know, you can have a lot of money if you don't have God's grace to live. You can, you just have to die and leave it. That's all. Priceless. Joy. If you've ever been at a place where you want to be happy. You know, I remember one time I wanted to be happy, so I started to run a bit. You run and shake yourself. And still you don't become happy. And still what? You can't shake it off. You try to move. Like, if I move, I'll be happy. If I eat, I'll be happy. If I do this, I'll be happy. But after it comes back, no price for joy, for peace, for love. Love, you know, if you ever talk to a lady whom nobody chose her, you see, I always prefer that the person, something will even come to your mind. Because for somebody's name to come to somebody's head, no, you think about it, you are a sister, okay? You are moving in the system. Nobody has chosen you. But your name comes to somebody's head. That, do you know that girl? If you are married, you take it for granted, as most of the poopoo wives are like that. They take all these things for granted. Poops. Yes. They take being married and being loved for granted. But those who are not, they know it's everything. They will bow, they will jump, they will do anything if somebody will choose them. Has no price. Has no what?
Price.
Priceless. So we were moving from price to priceless with this woman. And she said, what shall be done? And he said to her, she hath no child and her husband is old. These are serious issues. She has what? No husband and no child and her husband is old. What do you do? You need a miracle. It has no... How to make an old man young?
Priceless.
So those of you who have young men as husbands, when you see your husband, you must say, priceless. This, you are priceless. Kalara mashata kabayadalaba. Priceless. Amen. God is making many rich. Especially who? Whatever you cannot buy with money, receive it in Jesus' name. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, do you see, according to the time of life. Because she had passed the test of giving. So here come the harvest. And it was a directed harvest. Thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, you are a man of God. Don't lie. Don't what? Lie. You are a man of God. Don't tell lies. Don't start. Don't start. She was advising the pastor to not tell lies. Is it not amazing? So, brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you that God makes many people rich. And you are the one that is especially experiencing this.
Amen.
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 Giving whatever you have to give is the master key to experiencing unusual riches. Don't think of a metaphorical reason. I don't know how. I don't see how. Don't think that way. That's why you never experience supernatural. Our church is supernatural. It's a spirit. I mean, when you even see the pictures of the cathedrals and churches in different... I mean, it's not easy to build in your own backyard. Yes. How much more to go and find a land in another country? Yes. In war zones. Huh? In poor countries. In different places. Even to go to these places, just say you are going. If you like where you are, tell yourself, I'm going to Nzerikore, or I'm going to, Bo, or I'm going to Jui in Sierra Leone, or Makeni. Why don't you go there? First of all, find flights that go to Sierra Leone. Find it. Yes. Find if there's a Sierra Leonean embassy. Then after that, fly and check your map where is Freetown and where is Kenema and Makeni. How to? and how to go there and get a land there and see how to find workers at that place. And also see whether there is a bank in the country that you can transfer money to pay for the building. And see a lot of things. Whether you have people to be in the church that you are building. And whether you can have security in the nation you are in. And whether you will not be kidnapped before you leave. Yes. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. There are many things that have no price, and there are many supernatural wealth things in what we are watching and seeing today. And I want you not to be a member of this commission and not to partake of the grace that is passing. If it's raining, at least some few drops should fall on you. You know, every shepherd in this church must experience some of the wealth that is in this ministry. Why? Because when you fill a bottle with water, oil, and you pour all the oil out, you even shake it, and then you put the bottle down. Tell the truth. There's something small left for the bottle. Is it not true? You are the one who is going to experience there's something small left for the bottle. You are receiving part of the grace on this mission. Amen. It's a mission to build and to use prosperity to spread the church and the church buildings across and to build your own house. You know, I thank God many of the youngest people in the church, First Love, they are all building houses in their 20s. Yes. Before your child is 3 years old, you would have moved into your house. Amen. Yes, as toddlers, your children will be in a house as toddlers. Kalamashu paraba kasando laba. Lamada, yes. And you will not be renting a house where they are frying yam outside for your child to go and fall into the hot oil. I know somebody went to rent a house and the child went outside. They were frying, I don't know whether it's plantain or yam or something. They were frying big oil and the child went to get all the oil all over from, a rented compound house. Yes. Makotaramilo mashabalada. Be transferred. Be transformed, be transported, be promoted, be helped, receive supernatural grace. Even if nothing is working in your country where you are, it will work for you. Receive the grace to give. Receive the grace to release more and more until you are made rich by God. In Jesus' name. So today, I want you to have faith as you are giving. Now, God has sent me also to make you rich. Yes, yes. And how is he doing that? He's going to make me help you to give and to flow in giving. Yes. You know, you may be a lady and what you have are your dresses. You know, sometimes God wants you to give away good things. You know, it's not only one or this one, it bent. You know, your ironing is bent, so I'm going to give it away. You know, this one is now not a good thing, so I'm going to give it away. You know, the color has changed. You've washed it, and now the color has changed. Or a color from something else has gone into it. Yes. So it was white, but it's now a little reddish. You get it? Yeah. Now, I want you to see God, sometimes God gives you things. It's like you don't need all. You get it? Yeah. And as you empty your things, you know, think about your shoes. How many you have been used for a long time? You know, and you see somebody is having the same shoe, but it's a grace to give. But, you know, you see a man holding a basket, he's going to the market. himself because he doesn't trust the prices that you bring. See, the grace, yeah, there's no grace for giving. Yes. He's checking. He himself is going. So where are you going? So I'm going to town. I'm going to buy all these things. If they ask you for money, it's like it's a whole thing. You know, but you need to be there yourself. Even bread, you want to go and get it yourself. You know, every time you are asking for change, how much is it? Where is the change? Then you count. It's the way you are counting the thing, as if you are a chartered accountant. No. You see, people have hoarded corned beef until it has expired. Yes. Milk until it has expired. Sardines, they are all expired. But they say, give it. You will not give it. What will you use it for? You cannot use it. You cannot eat it. And they are all there expiring. Oh! No grace of giving. Yes. So you see that it's not that you don't even, like maybe God has put thousands of dollars in your hand for you to give, but even the corned beef, you can feel it. Or even your marriage, how you are doing it, there's no grace at all. Your wife even feels that she's working in an office. You see, most of the time. Yes. You see some brothers, they've gone to town, they bought rice or even yam. And instead of leaving it in the kitchen, they've taken it upstairs to go and keep it so that it will not finish quickly. And they will be budgeting the release. Yes. No, it's too much. It's too much. It's too much now. It's not helping you to prosper. You cannot. I hear some people use a ruler for the yam. They use a ruler and then divide it. It's too much. We can't take it anymore. Yes. We want to be happy. There must be grace to release, grace to give. You cannot have things that are expiring. When you see the sardines that are in your storeroom and there are 24 and they are all expiring in 7 days, can you eat the 24 in 7 days? What are you fighting for? Are you a freedom fighter? It's too much. It's too much. No. Everything your wife wants, you are finding a cheaper version so that things are cheaper in the house. And it is different. And she knows the differences. So, brothers and sisters, God is making many rich, especially me. And how is he doing that? I showed you two prophets. Paul was a prophet. He said, as an apostle and prophet. Bible says there were prophets and teachers. Acts 13, prophets and teachers. He was one. And he said one of his duties was making many rich. Even though he didn't have it, he was making many rich. And I showed you two prophets who help to make people rich. Beautiful. So, Father, may this grace be upon your church, your children, your people. All the young people are going to build houses in their youth. Amen. By the age of 30, most of them will have built houses in Jesus' name. All the young people are going to experience the grace of giving In Jesus' name. All the young people are going to experience the grace of tithing. They will not be in need. The windows of heaven will be open over their heads. I thank you. All bad characteristics of stinginess are expunged from our midst. In Jesus' name, I release the grace of wealth and the grace of building that is upon this mission and this whole ministry, upon all that are part of this family. Receive the grace that Elijah and Elisha carried and transmitted to the widow of Sarepta and the Shunammite woman. Receive the blessing that they had. And may you be made rich as you release what God has placed in your hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now take your tithe. Take your tithe. And tithe is at least 10%. Sometimes you can give 20%. Sometimes when you sense that maybe I've used something I shouldn't use, you can give 20%. So just, you know, Lord, in case of anything, this is just a cover up for all financial mistakes I may have made this week or last week. Does it not happen to you practically? Yeah. Sometimes you get something, say, hey, have I paid tithes for this and for this and that? You know, you can't even remember whether you've paid tithes. You know, so round things up and then pay a tithe or a three times of your tithe or whatever, and then give your offering. Do you see? And they say, Lord, I'm blessing the church, building churches everywhere. And you can give your offering on these numbers. You can see in Ghana, because we have two ways, Ghana and international. Ghana is because I'm standing in Ghana. If I'm somewhere else, we'll put that country there. But Ghana has all these numbers. And then international. No, I'm showing them there's Ghana and international on the screen. And then there's international. If you want to give international, and you must know how to give internationally. All right? I'm showing them the international on the screen, please. Yeah. There's Ghana and there's international. The Ghana is in blue and international is in red. All right? If you want to give international, you have mobile apps you have to download on your phone. Is it not true?
Yes.
World Remit is one of the apps you can download. And then SendWave is another app. And then there's another app that you can download onto your phone, okay? And that app is called Tap Tap Send, okay? So these are apps, just like how you have an app, Google Maps and other apps. WhatsApp is an app. You can also download on your phone, Facebook, all that. These are also ones you can download. Facebook app, World Remit app, SendWave app, and Tap Tap app. So just go to Google search in your store or your iBook store or whatever, what is it called?
App Store.
And find these three. Have them as options on your phones. Don't say, I don't need an international, I don't send. God is going to bless you. You see that you send money to somebody in another country. Because you are being blessed to be a blessing. Okay, so download these three apps, all right? Now, when you download, right, there will be a number that you have to send to, isn't it, for us, for all the three apps. And the number is 024-317-2171. So when you get the app downloaded on your phone, then you need this number. Are you with me? I'm trying to explain it to you. As I'm explaining, I'm also understanding it. Sometimes I see, but I don't understand what it is. But all right. So now you need the number. So when you have the app, then who are they sending it to? First Love Church. What? Our name will come. This number is the First Love Church. Okay. So when you find the number, you find First Love Church in Ghana. Now you need to say Ghana because you need to know that it's Ghana because we have First Love Church in many countries. So First Love Church in Ghana, all right? And then you send money. Now, if you are like more of like a big shot with bank accounts,
yes,
that kind of thing, then you need to do bank transfers. Okay? So on your phone too, you can wire money. Do you know what I'm saying? Instead of these all these apps, you can just wire. All right? So the bank account that you use is a Stanbic bank. Now, Stanbic is not a local Ghanaian bank. It's an international bank. The headquarters of this bank is in South Africa. So it's an international bank, and they have branches like how Barclays and Standard Chartered have branches all over the world. Stanbic is like that. And those of you who don't know, because where you are is also a small place. We also don't know the banks at where you are. You get what I'm saying? But I just want you to know that this is an international bank. And then the account number is right there. You say First Love Church, and then you have the number of the account, which is a long number. Why is it long? So that you get it right. It's long so that you get it right. Because if you get it wrong, it will go to somebody else's account. And I don't think you want that. And you must also have the right name, because that helps you. Because even if you get the wrong number, you've got the right name. And then they will say there's something wrong. Okay. Then there's also a branch. The branch of that bank. It says North Industrial Area. Because in Ghana, we have industrial areas. So we have a lot of industries in Ghana. Okay. Yes, we have a lot of industries. And it's an area with a lot of industries. I hope I've made things easy to understand. Okay. Yes. So please, everybody who is giving must know these different methods. Now, even if you don't have money, much money, make sure you have all these apps. Make sure you have all these accounts for your bank account, because your bank is going to be filled. Yes, your bank is going to be. Don't doubt things. So when you hear big things, don't say, how? I've used to people saying, I can see them. They say, oh, how? Is it, you are just saying something. I don't know how it can be. That is why you need faith. Because I also don't know how. If you ask me how, I'll say, I also don't know how. But I've been told to believe. So learn to believe more things. And you'll be shocked. Yes. Now, do you have a pen? I want everybody to take a pen. I'm going to pray over your signature. Kalara matoba laba kasanda laba yabalaba. Matoka laba banda. I know pens are difficult to find, but wherever you are in your house, take a pen. I need to pray over your signature. Can you sign it on your phone too? Okay. Take it on your phone, whatever. And have you given your offering yet? No, let's finish giving the offering. So I was explaining the bank accounts and all that. So give, and the apps and all that. So give your tithes. Now, other countries also have a way of giving. Are you watching? Yeah. Now, other countries, okay? Sierra Leone, Cameroon, and so on. Seychelles, Philippines, Democratic Republic of Congo, Malawi, and so on. Switzerland. We all have different ways of giving. So, whilst the screen is going, if the one you need has come, take a screenshot, and then you can check the details, okay? And then where you are locally, you can give your offering, because that is a blessing from the Lord. It's the test of giving. Now, I want to say to all young people, you know, never think that, oh, we are young, so we are poor. No. Recently, I don't tell the people at the Kodesh, but when we took an offering for prisoners, they also took an offering for prisoners. But our offering at the First Love Church was more than their offering. Yes. So I'm just saying that you'll be surprised that young people can have the grace of giving, even though we don't have much. Okay? Beautiful. And because you've been busing people, your car will be nice and gleaming in the house. Beautiful. And your wife, your young wife, will also have a gleaming car. La rama to kabala babalaba. With car seats for babies and children in the car. Na lokatama lubarabalaba. And your sitting room will be covered with marble, or as somebody said, marbles. Is it exciting? Believe in the prophecy, and it will happen practically in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so let me pray over the offering. Father, bless every giver today. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the tithes, the offerings, the gifts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, send. Either to any of the things that I've spoken about. Now, I want to pray over your signature. Take your pen and or your phone if you are going to write and sign your signature. Wait, and before you sign, are you ready? Hold your pen like a gun, okay, or your phone, and let me declare, Father, I thank you. This is the signature of a millionaire.
Amen.
Let it come to pass practically.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now sign the signature of a millionaire. In Jesus' name. And as you sign it, lay hands on it and say, I declare you are the signature of a millionaire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. All right. So now, the next thing is, whilst we are receiving our offering, the money is moving around, we are going to receive a choir, an American choir, all the way from the United States. Now, anywhere you see during the offering, you'll be there.
Amen.
Like, it's a place you will go to. Not that you need to stay. Yeah. You don't need to stay there. The weather in America can never be compared to the weather in Africa. They may have more money, but we have better weather. I mean, how can you always be feeling cold? Are you meat? Are you fish? You get what I'm saying? You can't be feeling cold. It's already going to start getting cold there now. And it will be cold for a long time. So God has made you, even you are not a meat or fish or whatever, that you need to be in a freezer. You get it? So it's not that you want to go there and stay there. But if there is a place, something to see, your eyes will see it. Your feet will stand there. You will go and come at will by the grace of God. Father, I thank you. You are blessing your children all over the world to see good things. Let those that believe the words, may they experience practically all your goodness in the land of the living. In the next 5 to 7 years, let there be not even one person under the sound of my voice who has not visited America in his or her lifetime. I thank you that you are making impossible things come to pass by your power and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you blessed to be in the house of God? Do you feel the grace? Do you feel the grace? I don't know about you at home, but we in the studio, we feel the grace of God. We feel the presence of God. Amen. And I already feel that I've received an impartation of the grace that is on this ministry. Amen. And today, once again, we are at the feet of a great, great, great servant of God. And one day when we are very old, we'll be writing about these times and about the times we spent in the presence of God. Amen. Are you there or are you? I'm not sure if you're there. And so today is time to feed again. The Bible says, I will give you pastors after my heart. You know, that always touches me because it shows you that your pastor is after God's own heart. And he's going to feed us with something that we don't know. Say something I don't know and something I don't understand. Tell your neighbor, the fact that you have a pastor means there's something that you don't know and something that you don't understand. Hallelujah. But today our pastor is here. Our prophet is here. The apostle of this ministry is here. And it's time to be fed by the power of God, by the teaching anointing, and the grace of God is resting on you in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing that nothing is impossible.
impossible when you put your trust in God.
Turn to your neighbor and minister to them. Tell them nothing is impossible
when you're trusting in His word. Hearken to the voice of God to me.
Is there anything too hard?
Too hard for me. Then
put your trust
in God alone and rest upon His word. Oh, everything, yes, everything is possible.
Some of you came here anxious. Some of you came here worried. It's dissipating in Jesus' name.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust.
Some of you came looking for healing. Nothing is impossible.
Is impossible when you're trusting.
Some of you came for guidance, for the Holy Spirit to lead you. It's happening this afternoon. Is there anything too hard?
Too hard for me. Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon.
Lift your hands in faith. All over the world, lift your hands. Come on, sing it in your houses. Everything is possible with my God. Hallelujah. Our prophet is here. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Put your hands together and let's welcome the servant of God.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for blessing us already in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just to recap, we're going to be giving some announcements. I believe from this week, not today, but a standby for the announcements of how the church is reopening as the pandemic is still present, but it's a little modified, I should say. So we are also going to respond. Amen. You know, in the First Love Church, there's a lot of crowding, a lot of people, and a lot of interaction that goes on, you know, on and on and on and on and on. So that is one of our difficulties, because we tend to love interaction. So stand by, and all this is training us. All things work together for good. The electronic version of the church is an important thing, because this is not going to be the only catastrophe in the world. It's not going to be. As we get nearer to the end, there's going to be more, and then the time between the catastrophes will be shorter until the end. Like birth, Bible says in Matthew 24, these are birth pangs. And with birth pangs, they are a distance apart. But then as the next contraction comes, the time between the contraction gets shorter and shorter and shorter until the baby comes out. Is it not so? Yes. So these are all birth pangs squeezing out certain things. And you must expect there will be more. There will be things that you cannot imagine can come upon the earth. And in the midst of it all, the church will exist and go on up to the end. And sometimes the church will be forced to exist in different ways. For instance, if you take China, where they are not really allowed to have church, you know, 1.5 billion people are not allowed to openly worship God. Imagine that. Can you imagine how large the Chinese churches would be if they were allowed? So the church exists in a form there. And so our outreaches and the work of God will continue to exist no matter what happens in the world. But sometimes the flexibility will be needed because of the situations that we come into. So it's good to learn all this. So now as we give you the announcements for the reopening, it's going to also have some innovation and some new things which we all have to flow with so that we can flow in church beautifully. So stand by. I'm just preparing your minds. So I'm sure you are wondering, what is he talking about? But we are blessed. Now, how to defend yourself. Was I sharing something about that? How to defend yourself. All right. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. How to defend yourself spiritually. All right. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, okay, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Devour. Devour or devour? Which one is it? Devour. Devour. All right? Now, whom resist steadfast, you know, in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. Amen. So, be sober. And what? Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, that you are the subject of a lion somewhere seeking meals is a very disconcerting and unsettling thought, that you are a target. Now, for the sake of removing arguments from your mind, I have decided to get the Strong's meaning of this word. The word is zeteo or jateo. Sounds like jata. Zeteo, jateo, spelled D-Z-A-Y-T-E-H-O. Zateo. Now, it means to seek. So somebody is seeking you. Number two, it means to plot. To plot. So it also doesn't sound so nice to think that somebody somewhere is plotting against you. And that word plot, I'm reading it straight out of the Bible. If you have your Tekata Bible, I told you all to get the Tekata Bible. I hope you've all gotten it. See, when you don't do little things like this, it shows something is wrong with you. You know, a little thing. Get a Tekata Bible and put it on your phone and your iPad and so on. You will not do it. How much will go on a mission? And how much more when you are there to make the church grow? There are so many 18 sections of the book Church Growth. How will you go through all these sections and obey them? All right? So, to plot. And then the next one is to desire. And remember what Jesus told Peter. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Okay? And a desire to sift you as wheat means that the way he will take you through, you cannot put you together again. So that's what happens with wheat. When you go through what the devil wants for you, the wheat, it becomes more particles that do not clump together again. So how you used to be together, if the devil has his way, you'll never be like that again. And you can't be together and even join with others anymore, because you have been made small. But Peter came back. Peter came back to preach, and he was still the leader of the people after being sifted like wheat. And to be sifted like wheat or to have a very strong attack on you is to be brought to a place where your fundamental beliefs are challenged. Okay. Wow. Yes, your fundamental beliefs are challenged. When you are attacked at the highest level, it's to be brought to a place where you look like you are about to be ejected from the fellowship in a way that is not easy to reverse. You see, to be tested like wheat, to be sifted like wheat, is to be taken through the most amazing shaking of your life to the point that all the things you said, they are not holding. So, though everyone may deny you, I will never deny you. But it's not true. Now, it's not working. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Although this, it's not working. The things you thought and the things you said. You know, so Peter was left, you know, with very little to go on or to go by, because the cross was the climax of the ministry of Jesus. The climax of the ministry of Jesus. When you go to Israel, you will understand. But please note it so that I hope you get your Israel notes. You must all have Israel notes. So whenever I say something about Israel, you just take note of it and you just look out for it next time in your 7 visits. Wow. Because you are going to visit at least how many times? 7 times. Yes. Now, one of the things you notice is that, and you'll appreciate the Catholic Church more, is that everywhere something great happened in Jesus' life or even in the Bible, they built a church there. They didn't mark it with a monument. They marked it with a church building. And they have church services there sometimes. Do you see? Yes. Now, each place, the importance, you see the beautiful church building at every important, like the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was trying, they built a church there. Where Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, they built a church there. In anywhere Jesus fed 5,000, they built a church there, on the grass there. So every important place has a building, a church building there. Now, the biggest of all, and the most grand, the grandest of all the church buildings they've ever built in Israel is the one on Calvary, the cross where Jesus was crucified. That's the climax of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And so when you go to Israel, sometimes there can be a queue to go into the church. Far outside the church, far, you see, that's where you have the long queues. You may never enter. You stand there, your people are trying to enter, because that was the climax of the ministry of Jesus Christ, the cross. And it was at that climactic point that Peter became nothing. Uh-huh. The head of the church. He was like shaken to the core. Yes. And then he even went back to fishing. I mean, it's like all his things were gone. Are you with me? Yes. Beautiful. So, that is what it means. So, that there is an enemy plotting, and Jesus knew. Jesus knows Satan. He knows him personally. He was in heaven. He was a cherub. He was someone who was walking up and down. They know him there. They know his ways. And he knew what he would do. And he knew what he would try to do. And he knew that he had targeted the person because he was his main man. Yeah, he knew it. He knew what Satan. He knew Satan as not an invisible perception, but as somebody that he knows. I know how he is, and I know how he thinks. And because I've appointed this person, and because this person is important to me, I know him. He's a very wicked and evil person. And he would try to scratch him and scrape him till there's nothing left of him that he can't even stand to even just be normal. His confidence and everything gone. You know, and Peter too should have also taken his time when they were saying the things. You know, he should have taken his time when he was responding. He said, "Oh, yeah, whatever. I'll never. If though everybody, you know, it's not though you are better. You know, are you listening to me? Yes, I'm trying to say that it is Jesus speaking about someone he knows. He knew the person. He knows. I know what he's going to do. Don't try to destroy you just because I've appointed you. Yes. And that is why with every appointment, you must pray, you know, pray for humility. Pray and also seek constantly ways to be humble. What means humility? Yes. What means humility? You know, many years ago, I met a pastor, and they were saying when they talk about other pastors, they would talk and laugh. You know, I always remember that. Either I read it also in a book, and I met this person. It's like when they are talking about somebody, they were laughing, and they talk about other churches and other ministries. And I always remember that he was using it as a warning, that he was saying that they were proud. And that is why they would talk about some other people who were in difficulty in that way. And laugh and make funny remarks. And it's like, oh, those guys, then they will laugh. So, you know, because of that, you know, I don't like laughing at people at all. Although there are some people who are light-hearted. My wife is light-hearted, so she's laughing at people and all that. But it's something that I'm comfortable with somebody laughing lightheartedly, and it's nice to relax people. That is not what I'm talking about. Me personally, I don't laugh at people. You know, sometimes somebody pronounces a word wrong, then people will laugh, make it fun. I don't know whether it's from that story that don't laugh at people. Laughing at people, mocking people's difficulties. Somebody has got a sin, somebody has got a problem. They talk in a way, oh, this guy, that church, oh, they are few, they are finished. You know, it's scary. So I would just advise you, you know, there are some things that God will bring to your attention. You know, there is a way of talking that reveals that this person is too confident. Yes. He would not say certain things if you were not confident. It is dangerous. And so Peter should have even prayed. And you know, thank God for Peter, but Paul came to overshadow him. Oh, yes. You see, today, Paul is more of the head of the church than Peter. If you talk of a person whom Jesus appointed and whom Jesus, is using, that apart from Jesus, the next person in command was a person who you would never give two hoots for. That this person is some useless, wicked man, a blasphemer. He's a cursed man who is going to hell. He has rather come, do you see, to replace Paul, Peter, in a certain level of importance. Whether, if you like, ask me, whose books are we reading all the time? Yes. Who wrote Ephesians, Romans, Galatians, Hebrews, Corinthians, and all these things, 1st and 2nd Corinthians and so on, teaching us how to run the church? Not Peter. Who was, people have few verses from Peter. You know, he's completely overshadowed by someone who virtually came to replace him in terms of importance and dominance in the church. Yeah. You know, so when you are given an appointment, or you are given something by God, you know, you have to maintain a sense of carefulness and also a sense of, you know, this thing is just grace. You know, there is nothing we can do naturally. Only the grace of God and the power of God keeps us alive. So, I'm just saying to you that be careful with, you know, during the flow prayer meeting, we were in Psalm 106 and we are continuing by the grace of God on Tuesday. Make sure you join for our flow prayer meeting. Those who don't join the flow prayer meetings, let me pray for you. Father, I was about to pray for a lion to come and find you, but I will not pray for the lion to come. But Lord, let something wake up your children to pray, that they may be part of those that pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So many things can wake you up. But in the prayer time, one of the things we're looking at is the importance of those who are chosen, those who are made to stand to serve, and number three, those who are brought near. There are three different experiences. You can be chosen, but you not be brought near. You can be chosen, but you not stand to minister. You can stand to minister, but you are not chosen. I mean, you can be any of these. You can be near, but you are not chosen. You also have people that are near for other reasons. You know, don't let me give examples. All right? Yes. Yeah. So, each of these three are things that Peter was given. All right? And the devil was looking at him and plotting. He said, you have been chosen. Okay. You are ministry. You are standing to serve. Minister means serve in any capacity. It doesn't mean preach. And then you have been brought near. Oh, okay. And the Bible says, the devil as a roaring lion seeketh. And the word is plot, desire. Eh? Wow. So, it's very important that you, what do you call it? You protect yourself. Now, how do you protect yourself? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. How to defend yourself. The first one says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, it doesn't say pray to be strong. It says be strong. You know, be strong. The onus is on you to be a strong Christian. Be strong. Be strong. Not pray for strength or may God give you strength or receive the blessing of strength. No, be strong. There are things you do that makes you strong. And we are supposed to be strong at Christianity and strong in the Lord and strong as spirit-filled believers. You must be stronger than you are. And if you don't strengthen yourself, you'll be shocked at what's going to come for you. So finally, my brethren, and that's finally from Paul, my last words, be strong. Like if you are doing, do it well. If you are spiritual, be spiritual. If you believe, believe. Don't be partly around. So everyone who is watching, God is saying, be strong. Be strong. Yeah. Then put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. So you must cover yourself because there is no part of your body which is resistant to a knife. Yes? No matter the muscles you have and no matter what, the whole armor is necessary. If the knife, the sword strikes any part, your hand, your finger, your head, your eye, I tell you, if you ever see a picture of Hannibal, the warrior from Carthage, you see he has a cover on one eye because his eye, he lost an eye in the battle. There is no part, and they say a wasp went into his eye. So there is no part of you that is harder than a knife. So that's why he says, put on the whole armor. If you leave the arms out, and if you see that thing, you realize you can't leave out any aspect of the armor. Yeah, because some people are good in one area, but they're not good in the other area. Like, here's protected, here's protected, here's protected. But as they were fighting, you know, it was all about knives. They slice like this. They slice. I mean, I don't know how you can be a soldier in those days. I said, most horrible thing. It's like butchering. And when the dead lie there, it's like you hear the sound, flies, or it's like dead meat covering acres or football fields full of dead bodies all over with fly, blood, meat. People are converted into meat. It's really something. And so that's why he said, put on the whole armor. You know, many years ago, I went to for a camp in a certain country. And they put me in an old mansion. I think there was no hotel there. So this old mansion. And they took me to a room. When I got to the room, there was a man standing there. And the man was the armor. Like a man, a knight. I mean, I don't know what it was, but it was like the whole armor. And he was standing in the room. You can't see anything. The gloves, hand, metal. That's what they wear. They walk like that. Only the eyes. So when I sat in the room, I called the people. Who else? I said, you know, I can't stay here. Because the man is looking at me. I don't feel comfortable. He's watching me all the time. Yes. So it's a wild thing. When the Bible says, put on the whole armor, put it on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, which is the same word for princes and powers and rulers and wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, I just want to say that all days are not equal. All days are not equal. There are evil days. There are evil days. There are days that are not good days. Yes. That's why the Bible says, he that will see good days should do certain things. And not all days are good. And there are days where you can fall to the enemy if you joke. So, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able, no, stand therefore, having your loins get about with truth. And last week I was explaining to you that truth is a major defense. Your loins, which is your waist, all right, should be covered with truth. And have on, number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Okay? So, righteousness is covering all your front. So in the spirit, when you are unrighteous, all the front is exposed. Now, that I don't think is a good idea. Do you know why? Because even those who are into fighting, right, fighting, they have the vest that they wear. For the just here, even if they can't protect the head, they wear this bulletproof vest on the chest. Yes, even under the suit, you see them wearing suits, but they all having this thing under, and it's like, I mean, apart from a strike to your head, it's really, really, really saves you. Yes, it really, really, really saves you. Because if a bullet penetrates your chest, do you see? On the left side is your heart. Do you get it? Yeah. On all this left side is your heart. And it's quite from the second intercostal space down to the fifth and then going all the way to under your armpit here. There is like, all this side is the heart. So, all this part, if a bullet, like hot metal, passes through on that side, any of the chambers of the heart which are pumping, it will slice it through. And the next time your heart beats like this, oh, do you see? Instead of the blood to go through blood vessels, it will come out of the heart. So the heart will pump one, two, three, and no more blood will go around your body. And blood will no more go to your brain. And then you become, it becomes dark. Everything that you see bright will just become dark. And then the ability to be awake goes. That's why they fall down like that. It's not that they are acting. It's not that they're acting, but the world becomes dark. And they can't think and they can't see. And then they just go and then it's gone. Because any of the chambers, if you can show me the chambers of the heart, like a real heart, you see, yes. Now, apart from that heart, do you see, that is on this side. Are you with me? There are also major, the biggest blood vessels that are carrying the blood are also there. Huge ones. No, show us a real heart. Okay, you can show the body. This is biology. He's an art student. Yes. You get it? Apart from the heart, do you see? All these blood vessels are there. Huge ones. And if you cut through one of them, you can show it, but it's not a good picture. But like this. It's, you see how thick, it looks like an enlarged heart, the meat is. And that is pumping. So the blood is in there and it's pumping. So if it slices through this, you know, that's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be good. But that's not a good picture. Show us better things. Yeah. Okay. So you see, then your lungs are also on this side and this side. So there's the heart and then there's the lungs. So now if you go and you take the lung, one side, that lung is not going to be able to breathe. And then also blood will go into the lung. And then, so when you say, it's not going, you know, then you start coughing blood and different things. And and if you go a little lower, you have something they call the diaphragm that's cutting off the lungs from the stomach side. And that one, when you cut it too, it's the breathing will also change. And you see that you cannot breathe. I mean, a lot of things. So when he says the breastplate of righteousness, righteousness is critical. Wow. Critical for your survival. So people don't fear sin. You know, and people don't fear sin. But the devil doesn't mind you sinning even in secret. Even in secret. He doesn't mind if he can get you to sin even in secret because it doesn't matter to him. Because it has an effect. It has an effect even if it's a secret. Yeah, because it opens you up to devils, more devils. Yes, whether people know or people don't know. And that's one of the things that every evil depends on lies. And so there's no sin. It's not stealing and lying. It's everything and lying. Everything goes with lying. Yeah, wow. So anybody into sin is into deception and self-deception. So all the things, even if they are secret, mark you, have a way of opening you up to evil spirits. And they are just looking. So when they see you, they see that there is nothing there. So committing fornication breaks open the breastplate. And I'm reading from my book here. Know your invisible enemies. All right? Page, whatever. Okay? Now, Revelation 18. After these things, I saw another angel from heaven having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Why? Why? Why has this happened? Because nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Again, the wine of the wrath is metaphorically trying to show you that it's like wine and there's also anger. There's anger and there's intoxication in fornication. Mm. There's anger of God and there's wine or intoxication. Not so easy to stop drinking when you are into that drinking. Okay? Are you there? You don't like my message, right? I don't know whether I should stop preaching. I'm going home. Yes. So, all the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Okay? So, all these fornicational things end in your life from today. No demon will have access. Now, what comes in when these things, when it's broken? Like, more devils. So, over time, you will notice that the most common devil that will come is lying, deception. Then other, you give yourself. You remember the story where Jesus said, when an evil spirit is gone out, he goes and he brings in what? Seven more wicked. Uh-huh. So now I'm going to do a Bible study with you. And you tell me seven other possible devils that could come after one of these has come in. You tell me. I'll just take a contribution. Call us. You can call in. You can send a message. Yes. Yes. What are the possible seven? I want you to give me seven more things that can follow a breach of the armor when one fornication devil has come in. What are the six more things that can come? More wicked than that. Murder. Lying, deception. So you can turn into a wild liar. So lying spirit, murder can come in. Yes, and almost all. If you like, watch crime. Those things, crime. What are they called? Crime something. Women who kill. What do you call it?
CSI.
CSI is what? Crime scene investigation. And what other thing? Rarely is there one which is not connected to sex. If you like, check and see. Rarely is there one which is not connected to sex or a relationship. Yeah. Next. What are the other things that can come in? Jealousy. Stealing could come. A stealing spirit. Murder spirit could come in. Pretense spirit. That's another one. Wickedness, stubbornness, sickness. Sickness could also come in. Because they make calls. Charlie, bingo, quadro, bingo. Who is available? So then this sickness is available. This, what do you call it, is there. This one is there. Roger. Yeah. Lung disease is ready. Lung disease, cancer of this is available. You know, so I'm coming. So, oh no, the heart disease arrived before the cancer. So cancer has not got a chance in this case. Yeah, so all these possibilities, do you see, are spirit that can follow these things. And if you notice, with the advent of a lot of fornication, we've had HIV big time. Yes. To the point where I was in South Africa, I was in Zimbabwe, and the pastor told me, said, a pastor doesn't do burials in his church. Pastor doesn't do burials in his church. This was a pastor with the largest church in Harare, Zimbabwe. Yeah, he said, pastor don't do church. He said, And he said, we don't bury them lying. They bury standing. Standing. Not, I'm not imagining. There's somebody who was telling me, we stand. And he said, cell leaders, the normal cell leader, they are the ones to do burials. I went to a church. The pastor told me, he said, the HIV I have, I know that in these years, only 1/3 of my church will be alive. Yes. Yes. So they call for spirits and then they are moving. So one thing rarely ends with one thing. It boomerangs and it continues with other things. Yeah. And you, if you live long, you will notice that fornication spirits are well connected to certain problems. So you will notice a pattern that they usually call their friend. Maybe their friends are this particular sickness. They usually are close to this particular thing. You see that just by observation. I don't really mind if you don't like the message I'm preaching, but I'm just trying to read from the Bible. Yeah. Then, idolatry is another thing that will remove your chest. Yeah. It's the one thing that honestly, if you want to talk about provoking God, when you have something that you like more than you like God. You know, and I tell you, in my life, I have experienced God's anger. I mean, like, I feel in my relationship with God that he doesn't want me to like anything or anybody above a certain average. This is what I feel I've learned. Everybody should be just average. Yes. Yeah. You find out. There should be no challenger to God. It's if you want to really press him to find out. You find out that when God says, and my name is jealous. Jealous. Jealousy. It's really something that he doesn't like those things at all. I think that it is the highest. I mean, he will put up with a fornicator, adulterer, any day more than an idolater. Yeah, he put up with it. Now, who told you? Are you saying, like, God, there are levels of sin? There are. You know, even with fornication, there are levels in the fornication. Wow. In 1 Corinthians 5, he says that there is fornication among you, and such fornication, such as is not commonly mentioned. 1 Corinthians 5. Even in fornication, 5:1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication, and such fornication. We have levels of fornication. Yes. There's such fornication, as is not so much as name, that one should have his father's wife. Like, it's of an order. Yes, it's of an order. Yes. Yes. So, you must be careful. You know, your chest, you know, this, any form of unrighteousness opens and they see. And when Jesus was telling Peter that, look, the devil is somebody who was in heaven. They knew him. It's somebody whose wickedness and malevolence and someone who is so rebellious and evil that could not find place in heaven in spite of God's love and forgiveness. Yeah. He knew that just for Jesus to put his hand on Peter and say, you are my rock. That's it. That's it. You are a rock, eh? Okay. You are a rock, eh? You are reverend, eh? You are reverend. You are pastor, eh? La taramo kapakaya. Ezekiel 14, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh up to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. The thing you love separates you from God. Therefore, says the house of Israel, repent and turn yourself from your idols and turn away your faces from your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. And I will set my face against that man. And I will make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of the people. Here you see an idol in the heart. It says that they have set up their idols in their hearts. Because, you know, people are watching me as I'm preaching, and you are saying, I'm not into idol. I don't have any idol. But he said, thus says the Lord about people having idols in their heart. In verse 2, it says, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. So in your heart, it is super special. An idol makes you, an idol is a replace of God. Makes you run, makes you move, makes you energetic, makes you take steps, makes you sacrifice. The most phlegmatic, lazy person, you see the person moving because your idol has called you. Yes, your idol has called you. So you see a person who can't move, who has no, energy, now moving because your idol has called. You know, I watch people who say they cannot go on missions. You know, when you see people, the way their jobs can move them, there's no question of the family. Here, then we are going here, then we are going here, then we are going here. You see, what can move people, eh? What can make somebody leave his family in Ghana for 9 years? For years and years. If you like, try it with the church. 6 months, 3 months, you hear people talking. What can make you move and rise up? Yeah, that's the idol. You see people, when you go and say, oh, we should go where? What moves us has called us. What sends us has sent us. What we yield to, we have yielded to it. What manipulates and actually moves us around, we have yielded to it. That's why there's a difference between full-time ministry and lay ministry. Lay ministry is people that have been moved by what moves them. And then within that position, they say, I would still like to do something for God. But not that God can move you from there and say, be here. How many times I've looked at people, the most honest, precious, good, gifted, moral, everything, good people. They don't want to be moved by God. And God will be forced to pick out failures. That's why his attitude towards sometimes somebody you think is a sinner is different. Because you think that God doesn't like this person at all because he's gone wrong. Yes, you are the moral one, isn't it? But say you are like perfect, isn't it? And you know your school and all these things. You are very whatever. and all that. But you wouldn't be moved because your heart is fixed to something that moves you and controls you. It controls your life. If they say go, you will not go. You will not do it. You will not do it. The thing that really is your God has told you where to live, what to do, and where to work. And he doesn't like it. It's true. It's true. When God sees someone bowing to, so it was able to make you bow? Kneel? It was able to make you kneel? You? Wow. It was able to make you work? You that don't like work? It was able to make you run? It was able to make you fly? It was able to make you travel? It was able to make you energetic? You that you have no energy, it's just resting. Mostly resting. Even in the church, there is no place for a lazy person in the church. You know it. You know it. So, you want to rip open? Look, put on that man with the vest, the bulletproof vest. You want to rip it open? As soon as you pick your idol in the Volta region, they have something, look at it. You want to take it off? You know, I've worn one of these things before. Yes. You want to take it off? You don't bring your idol? What is precious to you? Expose it. Lungs, heart, everything. You want to bring your immorality? Just open yourself up wide. It doesn't have to be known. It doesn't have to be. I say that there are spirits. It's the spirit world. It's the spirit world. Are you still around? Yeah. I don't know, but the next point. Witchcraft. Yeah. Any form of witchcraft, divination. Now the word of God came unto me saying, Ezekiel 21 verse 18. Thou son of man, appoint thee two ways that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Appoint a way. All right? Appoint a way. That the sword may come to Rabbath. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright, and he consulted with images, and he looked in the liver. And at his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, to appoint captains, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against gates, to cast a mountain, to build a fort. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths. But he will call to remembrance the iniquity, that they may be taken. All those who use divination, witchcraft power, is opening up yourself. Look, if you are making wache to sell, and you have put something inside the wache, you get it, so that people come to you. You are wearing certain things. You come to a place and you are wearing charms and things and practicing spells, enchantments, and other magic, forms of magic. You open yourself. Mention seven more devils that will follow this thing. You mention deception, for instance. You see that you pretend to be a Christian. Fornication can come in. A lot. What else? Murder. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, one time I had a church member. He told me, I slept with my father in the cemetery for 7 days. Oh, yes. And then I took blood. He showed me where he took blood from his wrist And his father also cut his wrist, and they mixed their blood, and they made a covenant in the night in the cemetery. Oh, yes. Not that somebody told me. I'm telling the person standing there, and I'm still standing here. A young man. Yes. So I asked him, what have you done? So no, we have killed some landlord and some other people. Oh, yes. These are the spirits that are coming. And what else? Hatred. Madness. Sickness. Spirit of sickness. What the Bible calls spirit of infirmity. I'm saying that it doesn't have to be public. Yes. It doesn't have to be public. That's what you have to know about these things. That it doesn't have to be known. It's something. Death. Spirit of death. Spirit of sickness. Look, one time we went to a certain part of Ghana for a crusade. Now, we have been to different parts, but this part, that was an aspect of unrighteousness that they were into. Yes. Now, in all the crusade, we have been 203 cities. They will be coming on stage. When you see the sicknesses, you, the one who are going to pray, you become afraid. They will come, four blind. One family, all blind. All deaf. Everybody deaf. Everybody dumb. Everybody different. Malformations, all having the same type of malformation. They're all moving together. Reptile skin, different strange things. Never we saw anything except in those places. Something that you see that it doesn't have to be open. Wow. Oh, yes. I remember one time a Christian married a certain brother. He also came from one of these areas. And one day she was going through the wardrobe. And there she saw the thing. Yes. It was there. The family God. And they all go to church at whatever. And the mother had said that the family God stays in somebody's house. Each person's turn to keep it. Yes, I'm talking of high-level people, grown-ups, educated, lecturers. And it was his turn. And then although he's a Christian, it's there. Yes. No, what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't need to be known that it is having an effect. It doesn't need to be known. Things don't need to be known. I beg you to have this understanding. Things don't need to be known. It is known in the spirit world. Yes. Yes. It's known. They see. They plot. They look. They say, it's open. To them, when they see this, actually, guys, it's a free, it's way open. It's wide open. Yeah. Plotting, planning, and evil targets you. And different kinds of evil mount up and one after the other enters. It doesn't need to be open. And in the end, that couple ended up divorcing because the wife said she cannot accept to have this idol. And he said it is his duty. It is his duty to have that for his season. It is his turn. As a Christian. So, the things begin to move. So, you never have an idol in your heart. You can. One day, I went to a certain place and they told me, I said, what is this? He said, it's a spiritual policeman. I said, what is a policeman? He said, he's guarding the house. He's guarding what? The house, an idol. So if you want to provoke God, then play with idolatry and play with divination. He said, you look into the liver. Like they can take a liver, you see the liver shaking and they are reading the liver. And they are saying, based on what I see in this moving red mass of a liver, this is what is going to happen. It's called divination. Another form of unrighteousness, homosexuality. That also opens a gap in Romans 1, verse 24. It says, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, I think our Muslim brothers, when they mention the name of God, then they say something, isn't it? They say, peace be on him. Yeah. So when he mentioned the creator, he said, who is blessed forever? Mm. For this cause, God gave them up to their vile affections. All right? For even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust towards one another. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. So, all sorts of things you are opening up to. All sorts of things. You can't even imagine. The series. And I'm saying it doesn't need to be known for it to be powerful. You don't need it to be known. Because who really matters? The spirit world. They see. And they just move in. Yes. They're just moving in. They're just moving in. I'll tell you, if you serve God for 30 years, you watch, you will see an association with certain sins, with certain sicknesses. You can write it somewhere. If you serve God for 30 years, you will notice an association of certain sins. Not always, because it's different. But you notice certain things go with certain things. Yeah. If you like, stay around and watch. Katorimo Tamaba. Then pride. Pride is a big one. It's the first sin of the universe. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. Why? Why does pride go before destruction? As soon as pride enters, blown open your whole chest. Blown open your whole chest. As soon as you are proud, your whole chest is wide open. Peter was now subject to spirits of shame. Demotion. Depression, discouragement, backsliding, sin, and what I call a downsizing of his ministry. Downsizing. He was downsized and Paul took over. Replacement, spirit of replacement. Yeah. Huh? Think of how Paul, who was nobody, you wouldn't have given Paul two chances to be a Christian. He came in and he took over from Peter, the dominance and the importance. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, Peter was the main person. Everything was Peter. Peter said so many things all the time. I mean, that's how you can tell Jesus that as long as I'm here, these things you are saying will not happen. Once I'm here. You appointed me 3 verses ago, and suddenly look at my way of talking. Remember that your way of speaking reveals your pride. Yes. You see, when Michal spoke to David, you know, the way she spoke to him, she said, "Hey, today you were glorious, eh? The way you were dancing, if all these girls in town were looking at you as your this thing came off and you were whatever." You know, you wouldn't talk that way if you have not chosen you. Yes. How glorious. Look at, change it to a Message Bible. Change it to a Message Bible. David returned. How wonderfully the king has distinguished himself. She was being sarcastic. Exposing himself to the eyes of the servants' maids. Like some burlesque street dancer. Is it the right word? What is the meaning of that word? Burlesque. Check it up. Burlesque. Tending to excite laughter or contempt. Huh? Ludicrous representation. Ludicrous. Ridiculous ridicule. Hey. You, David. You see how she talked to him? Do you think that servants in town were talking to him that way? They were very, sir, you are welcome, sir. They were dancing with him. As he was dancing, he was also flowing. They were flowing. Those of you who say, I'm the only one who can say this to you. I'm the only one who can say this to you. I'm now advising you. And so on and so forth. Your way of talking reveals your pride. Laughing at people reveals your pride. Mocking people reveals your pride. Don't laugh at people, oh. Don't laugh at people. Those who are good at laughing at things and so, don't laugh at things, oh. Don't laugh at them. I'm just advising you. If you hear of somebody's trouble, pray and don't be some way. When you hear things and somebody's trying to, you know, be funny, don't, it's not funny. It's not funny. Troubles are not funny. Troubles are not funny. Difficulties are not funny. There are people even who are rich who laugh at people who are poor. Yeah. And make fun of them. I don't find it funny. People work very hard. If they work hard, they will also be okay. People work very hard. Oh. People work from morning to evening. Sometimes somebody goes to work, but it's because of the person is working for that the person doesn't shine. Was a very good person. Yes. I remember sometimes when we had, you know, we have different offices. I used to look at some people and I saw them working in the church. And they were never shining. You know, and I always thought to myself, no, these people, if they were working with me directly, they would do well. I could see that they would do well. But it was because they were in a department that was about two or three departments away from me. So I never interacted with them. But I knew that all these people, they can work well. But only that the person who is directly over them doesn't make them shine. So that's why they are like nothing. It's true. Don't mock people. Pride goes before a destruction. As soon as pride comes, seven spirits that can destroy come. Yes. Yes. Seven more spirits. So, take your time. All the things about humility, being a child. Don't judge somebody by his country. And when you see somebody who doesn't speak your language, don't speak your language, whatever. Because people despise others because they don't speak their language. Ah, he's whatever. Oh, he's not one. He's whatever. Don't despise people based on their country. Don't transfer things that all people from here are like this. So this one is also like this. It's the greatest manifestation of pride and judgment based on outward appearances. Yes, you feel that you are better than. You know, somebody was giving a testimony on a Christian channel, Christian television. So, I thank God I was not born in Africa. You know, I also thank God I was not born in America. I thank God I was not born in America. I thank God I didn't go to school in America. I thank God very much I didn't go to school in America. I thank God. I thank God. Glory to God. I wasn't born in Africa. I thank God I didn't marry an African. Look. Will you get an African to marry? You don't know what you are missing. I thank God. I also thank God. I was born in America. I thank God I didn't go to university in America. I thank God. Yeah. 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 I don't want to say something so that I probably realize it's become reverse. Don't open yourself up. Don't cut off your vest. Don't remove it and let it be there. And look at the heart pumping. Uh-huh. You see? So if you have a slice on one, there's a hole, the next time it pumps, the thing is not going through the. You see the hole at the top? Yeah. That's where all the big blood is going to. That's the aorta. You see? So the blood is going in there. Do you see the one on the top? There's a hole at the top. That is the aorta. And then down here on the left side, I don't know where is your left, but on the left side, that one is the blood going to the lungs, the pulmonary artery. So when it pumps, do you see? It's going to your lungs. So if it slices there, it means blood is not going to go into your lungs. And it's not going to go to your brain. And that's it. So don't expose this one to the enemy. Eh? If a bullet passes by, you know, that's how bullets kill people. That's why the person goes, well, if you watch when they executed some people in Ghana, if you watch the video, you know, when they shoot them, they're there and then they bend down. They are not acting. Like, truly, the blood stops going. And then, because it will just be a bit of pain, like burning. But the truth is that blood stops going to the places. And then it becomes, the brightness of the day just changes. It becomes darker and darker. And then they go. And that's it. It will not happen to you in the name of Jesus. And the last, wickedness. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Be not overmuch wicked. Be not what? Overmuch wicked. Or don't be wicked. Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou what? Die before thy time. So death comes to wicked people. So wickedness is something that opens you up to other spirits. Other spirits are affected. Are you listening to me? Yes. So, other spirits are called in. Death is one. And agents of death. Accidents. Diseases. Different things. Unforgiveness. And you notice in Matthew, and in 18, verse 35, and his Lord was wrath and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So when you don't forgive, tormentors. This is the story Jesus told. When you forgive, don't forgive, then tormentors come in. Now, unforgiveness affects ladies more than men. Affects men as well. But ladies have a deeper heart. You see them sitting in the church smiling. When it's worship time, oh Lord! Wickedness and unforgiveness. Oh, some of the most wicked and unforgiving people are ladies. I don't really care what you think. Yeah. I don't really care what you think. Yeah. To forgive, to release, to forgive. And he said, if you don't forgive, that you will be sent tormentors. So expect diseases that torment. Not all diseases torment. Some diseases don't torment. But there are diseases, there are things that torment. Derek Prince, he said he has noticed arthritis is common with people suffering from bitterness. Yes, I mean, you can read it in his book. It's something that I heard. What I'm trying to say is that it's not 100%. If you have better, you have arthritis. But it's something that over the years, you will notice certain things go with certain things, but it's not 100%. Your forgiveness is coming in Jesus' name. Hey, my breastplate of righteousness alone is taking up so much. Yes. Then another one is self-righteousness. Yes. Ecclesiastes 7. Be not righteous overmuch. Okay? Don't be over righteous. And the Bible says that, why should I make yourself over wise? Too much looking good. Not good. You know? There are some people who love so much to have a public display of affection. PDA. Everything is about the show. Hi, sweetie. But there's no sweetie. Oh, there are seven more sweeties. Hi, sweetie. Hi, darling. Sweetheart. 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 Just be yourself. There's no need to give everybody an impression that you are the happiest, whatever. Just be nice. Yeah. One day, in school, we're in school, and somebody came knocking on the door, like it was in this hostel. You see, one door after door. And this beloved was in the room quarreling with the beloved. So, when she heard a knock on the door, she stopped, arranged him, and then she opened the door.
Wow.
Oh, hello! She was beautiful. I wish you remember that testimony. Very nice. She wanted to give an impression that they were an ideal A1 couple. Beloved. Beautiful. Be not over righteous, over macho. Yeah. As soon as they closed the door, she continued. You said this and this and that. You are doing this and that. The next door knocked. We were just chatting. I said, okay. Oh, you are passing by. All right. Oh, nice. Hey. Show. Be not righteous over man. Don't struggle to be too perfect. There's nothing. Nobody's perfect. The person who is struggling to really show that he's perfect, I'll put you, give you just one thing to put on the person. Question mark. Yes. You see people saying how nice their marriages are. The next moment you hear they're announcing they're divorcing. And as Bishop Oyedepo said, are we joking? Is it a joke? Are we joking? So, all these things open you up. But I know from today,
hallelujah,
today marks the end of all open chests.
Amen.
All open chests. Amen. And open hearts. Yes, your heart will never be exposed to enemy attacks. Before, rakatasobala, anything touches you, the shield of faith will block it, and you'll be saved from every attack. In Jesus' name. Whatever represents unrighteousness in your life is cleared off today. I say it is cleared off today in the name of Jesus Christ. May your chest and your breastplate be intact and secure completely from this hour and this moment. I decree and declare it over your life. Whatever you are struggling with comes to an end right now. Whatever is a difficulty in your life is now possible. You are free from unrighteousness and free from wickedness. Your righteousness is real. No demon targeting you will be successful from this day. I declare it over your life. Reality comes over you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Every standing, wherever you are, how to defend yourself, part 2, breastplate of righteousness. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here today, want to give your life to Jesus Christ, want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I need Jesus as my Savior. That is beautiful. I'm going to pray with you powerfully. If you want Jesus to save you, then write your name in the book of life by saying this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. I accept Jesus as my Master, my Savior, and my Lord. Thank you, Father, which art in heaven. From today, I am a follower of Jesus. From today, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. If you prayed this prayer, just text us on the screen. You see a text number on the screen, and send us a message. I want to pray with you. Now, lift your hand. Let me pray with you concerning your breastplate of righteousness. All forms of nakedness, all forms of spiritual defenselessness come to an end today by power, by grace, in Jesus' name. I rebuke the demons of iniquity and the demons of transgressions. Narakota Rimo Karambo Razindo La Mama Shiba. I rebuke the trespass spirits, the spirit of trespasses. Mantagarala Shumbe Katasakata O Kaliho Talamaba Matekilo Karamona Lamashanda. Sins and iniquities and breaking open of the breastplates of righteousness, deceptions and wickedness. Matokala Madura Masakatala Babanda. No more shall they be associated with the people of God. We are set free today by power. By power. Be free. Be free. Marataza Mara. From opening yourself up to demonic attacks and satanic intrusions. In Jesus' name. By the power of the shepherd and the power of the Holy Ghost, I decree you are free. I rub you with oil. Nahala rakata sombara mashandele baba. Be rubbed with anointing oil. Be free from flies, free from devils, free from demons, free from evil infiltrations. In Jesus' name. Mahako rastambora mashandele baba. New wave of righteousness. White garments, white and free, white linen garments are delivered in the spirit realm. Adokarando simbala mashomba. Receive your white linen garments of righteousness. Righteousness before his presence. Righteousness in his presence. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Whatever you couldn't do before, begin to do it. Whatever you are doing that you need not to do, receive grace and power to walk with strength, divinity, and mighty power. You shall not be entangled anymore in the affairs of this life, in the sins of this world, in the iniquity and trespasses of the people. By power and by the spirit of holiness, receive now with your hands lifted up the spirit of holiness and the spirit of grace and supplication over your life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Now take your Holy Communion. Take your Holy Communion. We are going to have Holy Communion. No kata malo shandala manda barabasonda libere. De mata la romo shame de beke baraba. Malik rebele no mo shandala babada.
Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
In Luke 24, the Bible says, then arose Peter, all right, and behold, two of them went to a village called Emmaus, all right, 60 furlongs, and they talked. And it came to pass, verse 15, that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, two people. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications? What are you guys talking about? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things? Then he said, what things? Verse 19, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus, who they were talking to Jesus about Jesus. He was a prophet, mighty, and the chief priests and our rulers condemned him to death. But we trusted that he would have been the Redeemer. Yea, and certain women went early, and they found not his body. Verse 24. And certain of them went to the sepulchre, and they found it as the women had said. Then he said to them, verse 25. Notice, fools, slow of heart, to believe that all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. You can't get it better than that. Jesus himself teaching Jesus. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went. They still couldn't recognize Jesus. After he has rebuked them, they have told him, they have walked with him for 60 furlongs. Yeah. 60 furlongs. That's 80 furlongs. 60 is what? 60 furlongs. 8 furlongs is 1 mile. 8 furlongs is 1 mile. 1 mile. And they constrained him, abide with us. The day is fast spent. So he said, okay, I'll stay with you. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And what? Their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You see, this is the communion. You know, many things we can't see even though it's explained to us. The power of God is necessary for you to see certain things. That is why there are long meetings and discussions. Don't see anything. Don't understand. I mean, for a stranger to rebuke you and call you a fool, you still don't realize that he must be a very great person. And walk with you for 60 furlongs, you still don't see. You don't get it. But when they took the bread and they break, and he gave to them, take it, this is my body, and blessed it, their eyes were opened. Now, moto malando, every form of blindness about you is healed today. Your blindness and shortness of sight and limitation of vision and understanding is breaking away today by the body of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, we thank you for this body of your Son. May we experience your mighty eye-opening power to have visions and dreams and see great things in the Spirit. Recognize people, know things, understand things, see things as we partake of the bread given to us by Jesus, saying, take it, this is my body. We receive the body of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The body of Jesus Christ. Now, whatever represents your mistakes, your sins, your foolishness and blindness, may the blood of Jesus wash cleanse you forever of all your mistakes, your errors. Especially your mistake that takes you far back. Be blessed. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. The blood of Jesus. Lift your hands for your blessing. Lift your hands and receive your blessing. Tone san blandore ma shindele menere. Mandoli de ke poramenda le babama. Dolera mandali bode. Paramo de zemonele de benede. Dolama de bere bakumorole. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. I bless you, the children of the church, the First Love Church, the UD, every all of you that are watching. The Lord bless thee. And I bless you with the blessing of a father upon his children. Survive crisis. Overcome problems. Overcome difficulties. In Jesus' name. And the Lord keep thee. Be kept safe from wickedness, from disease, from sudden death, from premature death, from evil. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Thus shalt thou bless the children of Israel. May you find grace and forgiveness for all your errors and mistakes. The Lord be gracious. And the Lord lift up his countenance. Nahabrata olo lalamanda lamakaba. I put the name of the Lord God upon you. I put his name on you. You'll be named with Christ. You'll be named with Jehovah. You'll be named with the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Be blessed. And stand strong. Stand tall. Stand as an overcomer. Whatever pulls your head down, I cut it off from you right now in Jesus' name. And your head is coming all the way up in Jesus' name. Be blessed and be established in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessing that is upon your people this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind.